Murphy caught the swiftest glimpse of a luminous red figure scurrying away. It was either a man with a warm cloak spread wide, or else a giant bat standing on its hind legs. "Bloody implants are shot," he muttered under his breath. He checked his TIP carbine's power reserve. He was down to the last heavy-duty power cell, 12%. "Nils, Garrett, take the prisoner onto the boat and get the motor going. Louis, you and I are laying down a sweep scorch. It might give us the time we need."
"Yes, sir," he answered.
Murphy felt an immense pride in the tiny squad. Nobody could have done better. They were the best, the very best, and they were his. He drew a breath and brought the TIP carbine up again. Nils was shoving his Bradfield's muzzle into the small of Jacqueline Couture's back, urging her towards the boat. Murphy suddenly realized that she could see as well as them in the dark. It didn't matter now. One of the day's smaller mysteries. His TIB carbine fired, nozzle aimed by his neural mnemonics. Flames rose before him, leaping from tree to tree, incinerating the twigs, biting deeply into the larger branches. Vines flared and sparkled like fused electric cables, swinging in short arcs before falling to the ground and writhing ferociously as they spat and hissed. A solid breaker of heat rolled around him, shunted into the ground by his suit's dispersal layer. Smoke rose from his feet. The medical mnemonic package around his knee datavised a heat overload warning into his neural mnemonics. "Come on, Lieutenant!" Garrett shouted. Through the heavy crackling of the flames, Murphy could hear the familiar chugging sound of the Issachar's motor. The suit's rear optical sensors showed him the boat backing out from under the cherry oak, water boiling ferociously around its stern. "Go," Murphy told Louis Beef. They turned and raced for the Issachar. Murphy could just feel targeting graphics circling his back. "We'll never make it, not out of this." Flames were rising 30 meters into the night behind them. Issachar was completely free of the cherry oak. Nils was leaning over the gunwale, holding out a hand. The green-tinted medical mnemonic package, leeching to his face, looked like some massive and grotesque wart. Water splashed around his boots. Once he nearly slipped on the mud and tangled snow-lily fronds. But then he was clinging to the side of the wooden boat, hauling himself up onto the deck. "Holy shit! We made it!" He was laughing uncontrollably, tears streaming out of his eyes. "We actually bloody made it!" He pulled his shell helmet off and lay on his back, looking at the fire. A stretch of jungle, 400 meters long, was in flames, hurling orange sparks into the black sky far above. The impenetrable water of the Zamjan shimmered with long orange reflections. Garrett was turning the boat, aiming the prow downriver. "What about the Kulu team?" Louis asked. He'd taken his shell helmet off, showing a face glinting with sweat. His breathing was heavy. "I think that was a sonic boom we heard this afternoon," Murphy said, raising his voice above the flames. "Those Kulu bastards, always one move ahead of everyone else." "They're soft, that's all," Garrett shouted from the wheelhouse. "Can't take the pressure. We can. We're the fucking Confed, fucking Navy, fucking Marines!" he whooped. Murphy grinned back at him. Fatigue pulled at every limb. He'd been using his boosted muscles almost constantly, which meant he'd have to make sure he ate plenty of high-protein rations to regain his proper blood energy levels. He loaded a memo into his neural mnemonics. His communication block let out a bleep for the first time in 5 hours. The datavise told him that there was a channel to the Navy Eland satellite open. "Bloody hell," Murphy said. He datavised the block. "Sir, is that you, sir?" "Christ, Murphy," Kelvin Solanke's datavise gushed into his mind. "What's happening?"
"Spot of trouble, sir. Nothing we can't handle."
"We're back on the boat now, heading downriver." Louis gave an exhausted laugh and flopped onto his back. "The Kulu team evacuated," Kelvin Solanke reported. "Their whole embassy contingent upped and left in the Equan this evening. Ralph Hilch called me from orbit to say there wasn't enough room on the space plane to pick you up." Murphy could sense a great deal of anger lying behind the lieutenant commander's smooth signal.